You know, this month we've called this series Closer, and the whole kind of focus as we head into 2020, feel free just to take your seat where you are. The whole focus as we head into this year is about growing closer to Jesus, getting closer to God. And in James chapter 4 and verse 8 in the New Living Translation, I want to read that from there today. It's a well-known verse will have heard before, but God makes us a promise in James chapter 4 verse 8, and he says this: come close to God, and God will come close to you. I want you to hear that, like the Father is speaking to you today. And he says, come close to me, and I will come close to you. There are greater depths of closeness that God wants us to enjoy and experience in our relationship with him. Band, I'll let you sit down if feel free, otherwise you might stand there for a long time. But there are greater depths of closeness that God wants us to enjoy. And this month we're going to be talking about the things that draw us closer to God. You know, when I hug my wife, she hugs me back. When I kiss my wife, she kisses me back. Most of the time. She would probably say I need to hug her and kiss her more. Perhaps I should rephrase it. When my wife hugs me, I hug her back. When she kisses me, I kiss her back. But the point is this, really simply, that when I take that initiative, or she does, or it evokes a response, that moving towards that person, that desire to experience that closeness as you seek to hug or to kiss, evokes a response that results in a closeness that doesn't just happen. Someone has to make that move. Someone has to take that initiative, if you like, to experience that closeness. I feel that in my heart that something often happens in our relationship with God that I think we can all say, yeah, at some point in time we've kind of been there, which is that often what happens is we are, in our relationship with God, we are putting the initiative always at his door. We're waiting for God to take the initiative that will evoke a response in us that will cause us to then pull closer to him. And of course, God in his goodness, there are many times that God will do that. God will do that. He will take the initiative. But as I read James 4 to you, it says here, who takes the initiative? Come close to God. You take the initiative. And God says what? I will come close to you. So as you prepare in your relationship with God this year to think more along the lines of God, there are things that I can do that will take the initiative, that will evoke a response from God, that will actually result in a deeper level of closeness in our relationships. James chapter 4 in the Passion Translation says this: move your heart closer and closer to God. You know, keep taking that initiative. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. And so actually, we're often waiting on God. God, I want to feel your presence. God, I want to experience this closeness. When actually, friends, there is some truth in this. God is waiting on you. Now, there's absolutely those times when he'll take that initiative, but we cannot, in a relationship, you know, if it's only ever Claire who done all the hugging or whatever, that's going to become quickly quite a one-sided thing. There needs to be this two-way flow. And this year we're saying, God, how can I take my initiative, the initiative in this relationship, to pull closer to you. What are the things that I need to do? I want to experience a greater level of closeness with Jesus. Anyone else there with me this morning? I want to experience his closeness, the presence of God. So naturally and spiritually, what I find is this, and I see this a lot, that in both natural and spiritual kind of circumstances, lots of people, both naturally and spiritually, begin relationships, but not everyone chooses to grow close. Lots of people will begin a relationship, but whether you get close within that relationship is an entirely different issue altogether. And so actually, because growing close is a choice, we kind of have to choose to do that. And so the day we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you know, if you want, think of it like this. That day, an official relationship begins. But whether you experience his closeness within that relationship is your choice. The relationship begins, but how close am I going to know him? How much of him am I going to experience? Well, that's down to me. Am I looking to take an initiative within this relationship and pull closer to him? God wants it. God's always wanted it. We know that since the beginning. The one thing he wanted was to walk in fellowship and closeness with Adam and Eve in the garden. And that's what the devil seeks to destroy, was that closeness. And God has always wanted it, but there is an element of truth that he's kind of, listen friends, at the end of the day, God took the most wonderful initiative which is he sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins and to bring you into it. He took the biggest stride of initiative to bring us into this relationship. Now, how close do I grow to him within that? You see, the closer I get to someone, the more I see. That's true, isn't it? So, you know, as I look to the back row right now, I see Gav, for example, on the back row, and I can see that Gav is there in a what looks like a grey T-shirt from here. Don't all turn around and stare at Gav, just trust me. You know, and there's something printed on the front, but I don't know what's printed on the front. I hope this is kosher. What's So I'm going to take I'm getting closer. Okay, now I can see there's some blue in Gav's T-shirt. In fact, I can see there's an outline. It almost looks a bit Star Wars-y from here. Do you know what I mean? I think my belly's grown over Christmas, and I just keep knocking it. So, in fact, I know my belly's grown over Christmas, and I keep knocking it. So, but as I get closer and closer and closer, I can see, okay, now there's white, there's blue. I can see defined. Oh, it's made by Adidas. There's a blue square that's going around the outside, and I begin to see. It's a simple illustration that the closer you pull to someone, the more you perceive. The more you begin to see. The more you begin to understand. The more you begin to know. And I think that's true both in our natural relationships and in our spiritual ones. I now know more about my wife than I ever knew, and her conversely with me, because you choose within that relationship to grow closer and you perceive more and you see more and you understand more. The closer we get, the more we see in detail. So when there's a distance, we're not seeing things as clearly as Jesus wants us to see. So my stepdad, and I did get permission to tell this story, my stepdad went to a nativity of his granddaughter, my stepbrother's daughter, at Christmas, because there was no one else who could go in the daytime. All the family were going in the evening. So he went in the daytime. At this school, they were allowed to take pictures and videos. You know, I know that's not so common, but they were. So he records this whole thing, and he says to me that evening, He says, I'm recording my granddaughter. He says, I'm waving at her. She's not responding. He said, I'm recording her the whole time, and I'm thinking, oh, she looks a bit grumpy and miserable. Why is she not acknowledging I'm here? He says, and I'm recording, and I'm waving, and I'm thinking, oh, I don't know what's going on. He says, and then they said at the end, now, if you'd like to all come down and see your children and grandchildren, and, you know, you can take photos together, that's fine. And he says, as I walked to the front and got there, I realized that wasn't my granddaughter. She was over there. He said, I've been waving at and filmed the wrong child for the entire thing. It took him a little while to actually confess this to his daughter. I had to ring him today and say, before I tell this story, have you told Shelley? He said, I've told her. Great, okay. But he said, it's only as I got the closeness I truly saw. Do you know, we can make all sorts of mistakes and find all sorts of frustrations and get in all sorts of trouble when we allow too much distance in our relationship with Jesus. But when we take steps towards him, we see clearly and we understand much more. And that's the journey we want to be on. So I don't know how far we'll get with that this session, but we'll see. It sounds so obvious, but how do we intentionally move? So everything that actually in this month that we want to plan this month is with that goal, to get closer to him, to experience more of his closeness. So the focus of the ministry this month, just to tee it up, is the focus of the ministry is all about how we get closer to Jesus, okay? And as well as that, we're having prayer this month. There'll be a prayer gathering this year. Can I really encourage you to come and be a part of that? That's one Wednesday night this month when we'll be gathering here, because prayer is a means that we pull closer to Jesus. There will be a regular day of prayer and fasting this month. Every Wednesday this month, we're asking everyone to fast something at whatever level they can. So I'm not saying you've got to do all day. I'm not saying it just has to be food. I'm just saying, will you do something that says, I'm actually going to fast this because in my heart, I want to pull closer to Jesus. Okay, so it might be social media. It might be your phone. It might be television. I don't know what it might be. But just fast something on those Wednesdays every Wednesday this month, and you say, why am I fasting? Because in my heart, it's a means to pull closer to Jesus. Okay, so I'm giving stuff up because I'm saying I'm prioritizing you. I want you more than I want that. Okay, so we're going to be fasting through Wednesdays this month. We're going to be continuing in our small groups this month. Okay, in smaller prayer gatherings. Now, don't be afraid of that. Whatever level of prayer you're at, there'll be a way that you can engage. Okay, at whatever level, but please be part of that with us this month as well. And this, we've also got this devotional resource. Now, I want to give everyone a copy of this when you leave, okay, today. So our team at the door will be handing these out. And this is, it says 40 days. That's obviously longer than a month. But this was produced by Saddleback Church and Rick Warren. And it's Experience God's Presence and Power in 40 Days of Prayer. And it's a very simple devotional resource that I'd like every one of us to get on board with, okay? And it's so short, it's not going to take, you haven't got to read all that. This is just teeing it up and helping you to understand what the book is about. But then as you get into it, there's just some stuff there for your information. You get to day one, okay, and we'll kick day one off from tomorrow. You get to day one, it's just very simple. It's a simple thing every day, just a short scripture, and then you just jot down a couple of things in response to that. You know, what did God say? What do you think? And, you know, what is your prayer as a result of what you've read? And so I would love it if people would journey with us on this as we seek to pull closer to him in our homes. You know, our homes, our time, our one-to-one time with Jesus is ultimately the best way to pull close to him. And so if you can grab one of these on your way out, and it's very self-explanatory, I would love that. And just, you know, I appreciate we've got people who have been in church for, wow, so many years, and people who have just started coming to church and are at the beginning of the journey. All I'm saying to you, friends, at whatever level you're at, in whatever way you can, let's just pull closer and let's begin to make steps. Is that okay? Good. Praise God. All right. So I almost feel like I could say, great, we'll all go home now then. So, and you're probably saying that, yeah. All right. So we're handing them out. Right. So the best example we have of how to experience closeness with the Father is always Jesus. So once you're saved, the goal is always to become more like Jesus. That's the aim, is to become more like him. So when I say to become more like him, I mean at the deepest level of our lives. So I'm not just talking about in what we're saying, although we do, of course, want to be speaking in line. We want to be speaking the truth. And yes, we want to sound like and speak like Jesus. But I'm talking about at the deepest level of our life, which is, in essence, is in our character. Okay, it's in our character. It's about becoming more like him. Now, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus describes his character. And it says in there, a description, sorry, of Jesus' character. And it says this, he is, quote, gentle and humble in heart. Everyone say, in heart. Okay, he is gentle and humble in heart. Now, that word there in the Greek, it literally means, in at the very center of who he is. It is very character, there is humility, okay? There's this humility, so not just in his words, not just in his actions, but in his very character, he is defined by, known for, this humility in his heart. It's at the center of who he is. That's why when we talk about Christ-like humility, it's more than just what we say. It's even more than just what we do. It's actually a position of our heart or a disposition of our heart. And I recently heard it said, if you want to know, this was not mine, if you want to know a humble man or a humble woman, you need to follow them throughout their day. Okay, because it's not too hard to just say something that sounds humble, is it? But actually, what about in those moments through the course of the day when you face a challenging circumstance, situation, or a person? You know, then that might be something more, that might be kind of more of an occasion where we might really see, you know, if you're really humble in your heart. Okay, because in that moment when that situation crops up or someone says that thing to you or things get tense in that moment or you see something on Facebook, oh, I'm angry about that or I'm jealous about that or oh, why are they doing that or why didn't they ask me? Or I've been overlooked. What do I respond like? How do I respond, sorry, in that moment? And there is pride and there is humility, and pride will always encourage us to rise up in our response. You know, let those feelings, let that anger, let that frustration, let that hurt rise up and respond. How many people have responded like that on more than one occasion? But humility encourages us to go low. Pride says rise up, humility says go low. Now that's a challenge, isn't it? I can say something that sounds humble, but in that moment when all these feelings are raging, am I going to rise up or am I going to go low? And is this really key to experiencing the closeness of God in my life? You bet it is. You'll hear why in a moment. I love what Reinhard Bonnke said about humility. He said this, he said, if I stay on my knees, all the words of men will go over my head. So I love that idea. I recently heard that quote by Eric Gilmore. And I love that idea because it actually means that it is not necessarily easy, but it is possible to begin to position my heart in a place where offense and things like that goes over my head. You know, someone says something to me, well, I'm going low. So it's just, but as I rise up, bam, it hits me. Now, we'll say more about that later on. But pride will always focus on self. It will encourage us in self-sufficiency. Oh, you don't really need to pray. You don't really need God's help. You just battle on and do it in your own strength. It will encourage selfishness, self-effort, self-centeredness, and self-exaltation. I'm really cheering you up right now at the start of 2020, aren't I? But I guess what I want us to understand is that pride or self ultimately leads us into sin. Whenever I succumb to them feelings, I don't usually end up in a healthy place. And the root of sin is pride. So you think back to the garden, you think back to Adam and Eve. The devil tempted them and drew them into sin by ultimately focusing them on themselves. What do you want? It's about what you want. If you want that and God says you can't have it, why shouldn't you have it? You know, respond according to how you feel. In this moment, do what you're feeling rather than what God wants. Just go with what you're feeling right now. And of course, we know, well, the rest, as they say, is history. But it's so interesting, isn't it, that two people who up to that point were living this wonderfully, well, this wonderful, what you'd call God-aware life, suddenly in that moment, when they listen to pride and they fall into sin, it says they look at themselves and realize they're naked, go from being God-aware to self-aware. They were so focused on God in that time, but now they're so focused and they become self-aware all my life. And what happens is from that place, we see this humanity that becomes incredibly focused on self. Do you think it's quite possible, if you agree with me, just at the least nod your head, that we live in a very selfy world? You know, it's about you, it's about how you feel and everything. We're perhaps more self-aware now than we're God-aware. Well, I know we are. But Jesus comes and says, I'm bringing humility back to the earth, and actually I'm going to crush pride by living a life that's God-aware over self-aware. And so he lives. What does God want me to do? How does God want me to speak? How does the Father, want me to respond to this situation, handle this, do in this moment, treat these people? You know, say, speak, do. And he lives this life that's very God aware, that's crushing pride. And, you know, I recently heard it said about everything that when Jesus went to the cross, the devil, you know, everything that attack upon Jesus that the devil made, it was seeking to try and get him to stop looking at his Father. You know, so you even think about the temptation in the wilderness. You're hungry, you know, and that kind of stuff. He's trying to say, get your eyes off the Father and respond according to what you feel. So, you know, Jesus says, you know, I could have called for all these angels to save me. That I could have done that. You know, my feelings might have said to do that. I might not have wanted to go through this. I didn't feel like I wanted to do this. But he says, you know, God, not my will, but yours be done. So he lives this kind of God-aware life. I heard this. When Jesus went to the cross, every blow was trying to keep him from looking at his Father. It was trying to say, get your eyes off of him and respond according to how you feel. But he lives this life where he lives this God-aware life rather than this self-aware life. Now, this is not easy, but what we see in Jesus is the most beautiful experience of the closeness of Father God. So much so that the disciples, when they looked at him, just said, Lord, you've got to teach us how to be that close and that connected to the Father. One of the best definitions of humility that I've heard is this. Humility is the dethroning of self for the enthronement of God. God, it's not just about what I want, think and say, but actually if I can get away from that, God, you can be enthroned. Now listen, God can be enthroned in the way you speak, in the way you treat, in the way you respond. Is self going to rise up and get on the seat of power here? Or am I going to move that over and enthrone God? So when our hearts begin to kind of move towards him in what we say and do, and not just in what we do say and do, but in what we don't say and do, when that humility begins to become our heart's disposition, we experience closeness. So I want to ask a question just briefly this morning. How do we move or journey towards that place? What does Jesus' life teach me? I think the big thing you have to say you learn from Jesus' life is that real humility is about recognizing your need of God or the Father. I say God to you, you know, the Father. You know, Jesus clearly, now always challenging me, Jesus clearly lived his life in a real awareness of his need of the Father. John 5:19, I can do nothing. You know, I said to you before, that recognition, I can do nothing. John 8:28, I do nothing. I'm not even going to try in my own energy and strength. You know, you go into, I think it's John 15, isn't it, about abiding in the vine. And, you know, Jesus says there, doesn't he, to us, to replicate. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so it's this kind of life that we see Jesus live, that his whole schedule, his whole priorities, his whole handling of his times and decisions that he's making are testifying to this real dependency upon the Father. And humility is really, at its essence, a real dependency upon God. And so I said last time that, you know, it's not lost on me that we see Jesus going to extreme lengths to do whatever he can, whenever he can, to make time to get away from everything and get alone with God. The busiest man there's ever been. He's getting up early, he's staying up late, he's leaving crowded houses, he's slipping away from people and places because he knew he needed that time. And so it cultivates this closeness and connection that, like I say, the disciples look at and go, wow, I want that. Someone once said this, the secret of the Christian life is realizing it's absolutely impossible. So what they meant by that is continually laying your heart at the feet of Jesus, saying, I can't do this without you. I need you. What you're calling me to, you know, I need you to help me live this life. I need you to help me respond in this way. I need you to help me to choose right, think right, pray right, worship right, live right, treat right, do right. And so I lay my life at his feet through prayer. I lay my life at his feet through fasting. In fact, Stevie just come to me at the beginning of the service. He said, I don't know, maybe I feel like Isaiah 58's on my heart. He didn't know what I was going to speak. And I mean, in its context, you know, just as a standalone one, it's about fasting. You might think, but in this moment, it fits so perfectly. So I'm just going to ask Stevie just to read those few verses, because he showed me. He said, look, this is really on my heart. He didn't know what I was going to say and what I was going to share, but just come and read those few scriptures to us, Stevie, so we understand what fasting can do.
Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover them, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, and you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am.
Here I am. Closeness. Closeness. So everything this month is about this closeness. And close humility, at its essence, as I say, is depending upon him. So when we stop depending on him, and that can be expressed through, you know, our devotional life and things like that. When we get beyond that place of dependency, we find this distance that comes in. So we must never move beyond it. And so I just want to share with you that if we get to that place, three things, okay, that the Bible tells you that if you begin to live in that place of humility and that heart disposition, three things in your life that will bring close or attract to your life, okay? And the first one is simply the presence of God. Isaiah 57 verse 15 in the Amplified Version says this: for the high and exalted one, he who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, says this: I dwell on, or live in, some versions say, the high and holy place, but also with the contrite and humble in spirit. God says, my presence will be with the humble. I dwell where there's humility. You could say that God is literally saying that I am drawn towards or attracted towards humility. Okay, and so as we seek to grow in that area, we experience his presence. It's like humility enables us to walk in the presence of God. Okay? Because that dependency, that trust in that place, and our trust in him, and God is attracted to that. And James 4 verse 6, this well-known verse, really endorses that the different experience we have between when we live in pride and when we live in humility. Would you read this with me, James 4 verse 6? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now that word opposes, I know I've taught on this before, but in the Greek it simply means this: it means resistance. So that actually if I kind of respond in pride, and pride is sneaky and crafty, and it's like, you know, I stop pulling close to God and I stop spending time with him, or I start just responding according to what I feel and everything like that, it causes this like resistance. And that resistance, in my mind, that image is really like the two magnets. You know, when you grab two magnets and you, no matter how hard you're trying to kind of bring the closeness, you can't, because there's that resistance, and that resistance creates that distance. And so God says, if there's pride, and listen, there's pride in me, and God needs to keep working in that in me, and I'm sure if we're all being humble, we'll all admit that God needs to do a work in all of our hearts. And actually, the more we're prepared to confront that and say, God, if there's anything there that's proud, take it away, what actually begins to happen is it begins to remove that resistance. And it's like then when you flip the magnets around the other way, and it's just like, and it draws that closeness. There's a magnetism, if you like, about humility, and a resistance about pride. And so it's the key, really, what God is saying is it's the key to fellowship with him. because he draws him in. It brings this closeness. And so I mustn't in my life begin to, if you like, to live above a place of need. You know, that's why I do need to spend that time with him. That's why I do need to open my Bible. That's why I do need to come to church and you know, and do all these things that God asked me to do, because I don't want my life to begin to say I'm living above a place of need. Because ultimately, as I say, it's not just our words, but it's our life, our schedules, our priorities that testify much louder about what we truly value. And so actually I want to live in this place equally as well, where I'm not drifting into this doing things in my own energy and strength without really depending upon Jesus. That is so easy. Come on, isn't that so easy? To just begin to start drifting into doing things in your own energy and strength. It's so easy, particularly when you're a fixer, and by nature I'm a fixer. If there's a problem, I want to fix that problem. I want to resolve that problem. When you've got kids who are, you know, not so young now, and they're growing up and they're encountering stuff, and Beth comes across issues, I just want to fix it. But it's a whole new thing when you actually go, do you know what? I can't fix it. I'm just going to have to trust Jesus in this situation. And actually, the most powerful thing I can do is, yes, speak words of wisdom, but it's to pray about that situation rather than say, well, if you text them and they text you and they say this and you do that. Now, there's always a little bit of that. But ultimately, in our lives, we need to stay in a place of humility and trust. You know, Eric Gilmore says this, God will pass over 1 million gifted men to get to one humble man. Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount, the blessed life. Okay, and he says this simply. He says, the blessed life is first when you live aware of your need of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Read it. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the first thing he says as he teaches them down to teach them. Jesus said, this is the foundation of everything else I'm going to teach you. You know, about the blessed life, you know, the beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes of life that we can adopt, that it causes to experience his blessing upon our life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, paraphrase, blessed are those who live life in a way that say, hey, the way I live, in what I say and what I do, God, I need you. I can't do this and you can. The whole foundation there was one of the whole blessed life, friends, is built on a foundation of humility. So we need to set our heart and mind upon him from a place of humility. So number one, humility pulls in, brings close, or attracts the presence of God. Number two, it pulls in, brings close, and attracts the grace of God to our lives. How many people need God's grace? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So pride withholds God's grace. Humility causes God's grace to come rushing into my circumstance or situation. Now, all of a sudden, when Stevie really jars me off because he says something that's really offensive, and I just want to go, duh! Actually, if I go low, God says, my grace can rush in. I can actually give you the grace now to handle that situation. The grace to actually come through that, but not if you're rising up like that, but if you're prepared to go low. So when I face these challenging situations and people and circumstances, 1 Peter 5, verse 5 to 6 says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. Now listen, who dresses you in the morning? Please say you. You choose what clothes you're going to put on, I think. You choose what you're going to wear. And it's like humility is a choice. Clothe yourself. He says, humble yourself. And he repeats that there, doesn't he? Look, God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves. So humility is a choice. How am I going to dress myself in this situation? And apply that to every second. When I come to pray, how am I going to dress myself? When I come to worship, how am I going to dress myself? When I walk into this situation, how am I going to dress myself? The Amplified Version says, tie on the apron servant. Tie on the servant's apron even. Go low. Grace can come in. It's the difference between resistance and closeness. One causes grace to rush in, another holds it back. A beautiful illustration I recently heard by this chap Eric Gilmore was this. He said, it's like water always seeks to fill the lowest place of a cup. The water always rushes in. Water into God always seeks to fill the lowest place, and the Spirit of God fills those who go low. So in any given circumstance, I'm living my life saying, okay, I want to be like Jesus. God, what do you want me to do? Even that, do you know what? Even that little pause to ask that question can save you an awful lot of bother. Because pride just goes, shoot. Pause. It's really, actually, humility is really adoring Jesus. It's taking my eyes off of him and focusing, taking my eyes off myself, sorry, and focusing on him. It's putting him above me. What does he want me to do? How does he want me to speak? How does he want me to pray? How does he want me to worship? How does he want me to respond? How does he want me to treat? How does he want me to reply? It's not the response that's just the one I feel like making, but what is the one that Jesus wants me to make? And I attract his presence and his grace when I focus on and adore him. Andrew Murray said this. He said, we are never more humble than when we adore him. The more our focus is upon Jesus through the course of our everyday life, the closer we begin to feel his presence and his grace. So humility draws in, attracts, pulls in, brings close the presence of God, the grace of God. And as I finish today, lastly this, the attention and the favor of God. Let's just read this last scripture. Luke 14, verse 7 to 11. Now he, Jesus, told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person, and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at a table with you. For everyone who exalts himself, some versions say seeks to raise himself up, will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Why was that parable written? Simply to teach us something very important. That's that if we're prepared to go low, we find that we get God's attention and God's favor. Now that's challenging because in our hearts for all of us, and I was recently reading about this, this is not my thought, I was recently reading about this, and they were saying that actually in the heart of all of us, there is something there that longs to be seen or recognized or, and it can be hard when others are seen or recognized or praised, and it's like, oh, and we're not. But as I read this parable, something really interesting that, you know, in that, is that actually it's almost like for me that the danger is the more you push for it and seek it and try and make it happen, the further away it gets. And this guy did, and it's like, the more he chased it, the further away it got. And it's like pride caused resistance. Go sit down. You know, this is an image of God and us in this wedding feast. It's like, go and sit down. Learn to be humble. But actually what happened is the person who come from a place of humility, it released favor. And God just said, you know what? Come up higher. Come up higher. So, as we head into this new season, this foundation of humility is what we're talking about. This recognizing of our need of God is the foundation to getting closer to him. It draws in, it attracts, it pulls in, it brings close. The presence of God. How many people want more of God's presence in their life? The grace of God. How many people want more of God's grace in their life? And the attention and favor of God. How many people want more of God's favor over their life? Presence, grace, and favor. Draw close to him, and he will draw close to you. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to pray for us all, and absolutely myself included, because even, Lord, I'm even conscious today, it's perhaps easier to preach it than it is to live it. And Lord, I need your help. And I think we all need help. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit. You're all about glorifying Jesus. And so I just ask you right now, as we begin to embark on this journey, Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us. And Lord, we just say before you today, Lord, we want our heart's disposition to become one of humility. And we just invite you, Lord, at the start of this year to just work deep inside of every one of us. God, there can be all sorts of pride manifest itself in all kinds of ways. It's not necessarily just the big, bulshy response. It can be other things. God, whatever it is, Lord, we just ask you, we just welcome you, Holy Spirit, and just come and say, would you just root out what is pride? And would you cause a growing humility that in all of that, we're becoming more and more like Jesus? Lord, as we read your word and we see the closeness that Jesus had with you, the Father, we're just saying, Lord, teach us. We want to experience more of that this year. We want, Lord, your presence. We want to experience a closeness of your presence. Lord, more of your grace and more of your favor over our lives. May presence and grace and favor define 2020. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.